Hey, everybody. Before we get started today, I just wanted to remind you about you and people like you. The people who, really since the beginning of 2013, have made the School Sucks Project possible. So from the beginning of 2013 to the end of 2015, during one of our most significant growth periods, the only means of support for the School Sucks Project came in the form of small, recurring monthly donations from listeners who found the content valuable, and maybe some others who wanted access to a bonus content section we call the AV Club, where there's hundreds of hours of additional audios and videos ranging from highly valuable educationally to dangerously inappropriate and ridiculous. So if you found the past 31 days of content valuable, please go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV and sign up to support the show. I also want to say a final thank you to the Foundation for Economic Education for their additional support this month. And I also wanted to express some gratitude for Fee's desire to work with the School Sucks Project. Fee is a highly respected institution, and it was an essential part of my self-education. But now Fee is moving on to the next generation. All month long, I've been talking about their upcoming 3-day seminars for young entrepreneurs, and if you are between the ages of 14 and 26, I encourage you to go to fee.org/students. Take a look at this great offer and consider enrolling. If you do an application, please tell Fee that you heard about this opportunity, these seminars, on the School Sucks podcast. Thanks.
Welcome to the School Sucks Project, a podcast, YouTube channel, and online community dedicated to personal growth and intellectual self-defense.
We promote learning alternatives, home education, critical thinking, peaceful parenting, organization and productivity, and better communication strategies.
Please remember to visit schoolsucksproject.com to get comprehensive show notes, relevant links,
or to just leave comments.
Follow us on Twitter at School Sucks Show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, username School Sucks Podcast, and get involved in our Facebook group. Just search for School Sucks Project.
Hey, everybody. This is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is January 31st, 2016. SSP Productivity Month draws to a close with this installment on Mastermind Groups. I really don't feel like this show needs much of an introduction. We are very, very thorough in this roundtable conversation, so we're going to get right to it. First, I do want to thank everybody who participated as guests in SSP Productivity Month. That includes Nathan Frazier, Jake DeSillis, Drew Sample, Kevin Koskela, Kevin Cruz, Kevin Geary, a triumvirate of productive Kevins. That's only happening here. And Daryl Becker, who you're going to hear on the show today, along with Drew and Nathan, they are back. We are actually all in a mastermind group together. So this is how things will work for the remainder of 2016, a whole month devoted to a singular theme that hopefully, if explored thoroughly enough, can make all of our lives a little more wonderful, and maybe in some cases a lot more wonderful. Many of us are at different stages with a lot of these topics, especially productivity, from the feedback that I gathered this month. But we want to make sure that we can be accessible to high school and college students who stumble across this show because of its clever title. We want to be a valuable resource for the home educating parents who are trying to decide what kind of content is important to bring into their homes. And of course, for people probably like you, you've gained a substantial amount of self-knowledge. You're pretty competent as a self-teacher, but you always have your eyes open for new ways to improve, new ideas that can lead to an even more spectacular future. So thanks for all your positive feedback about the idea of doing theme months. Some have called it in-depth. Others have said it is a much-needed thoroughness. A few even threw around words like commitment. But around here, we just call it School Sucks Podcast 4. I didn't forget. If you saw the video in the Facebook group, you might have seen me take apart the entire studio in a response to recent audio problems. I think those problems have been solved. So I feel pretty good. I think I sound pretty nice. And when you're feeling good and sounding nice, it's time to do a show. Ooh, kabang.
My name is W. Clement Stone. As general manager of the Napoleon Hill Associates, it is my privilege to introduce you to Napoleon Hill.
How do you do? I'm very happy to have this personal visit with you. Won't you be seated, please? And now, may I request that you forget all your problems and just relax while I bring you the master key with which you may unlock the door to any opportunity that your mind can conceive. The master key consists of 17 principles. We come now to the second of the 17 principles which lead to the master key with which you may open the door to the attainment of your definite major purpose in life. This principle of success is called the master mind principle. I want you to understand the nature of the master mind principle because you must use it before you can take possession of the master key. An understandable definition of the master mind is this. It consists of two or more people who work in perfect harmony for the attainment of a definite purpose. Now, here are some interesting facts about the master mind which give you an idea of how important it is and how necessary that you embrace this principle and make use of it in attaining success in your chosen occupation. First of all, it is the principle through which you may borrow and use the education, the experience, the influence, and perhaps the capital of other people in carrying out your own plans in life. It is the principle through which you can accomplish in 1 year more than you could accomplish without it in a lifetime if you depended entirely upon your own efforts for success. In my research while organizing the science of success, I had the collaboration of practically every outstanding successful man this country has produced during the past 50 years. And I can tell you definitely that their success was due in the main to their knowledge and application of the mastermind principle. I wish also to call your attention to the fact that our great American way of life and our unmatchable system of free enterprise have been built upon the mastermind principle. The greatest document ever conceived by the mind of man is a perfect example of the mastermind principle in action. It is the Declaration of Independence and the best evidence of the importance of maintaining perfect harmony in a mastermind alliance may be found in the fact that the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence knew full well that it might turn out to be either a license of freedom for all mankind or a death warrant which would cause each of the signers to be hanged. There is no such thing as something for nothing. Everything, including your personal success, has a price that must be paid. And the only price you are requested to pay for the present is the effort necessary to do three simple things that I have suggested. Now, before you begin to take the three steps I have suggested, there is one important fact I wish you to remember, and it is this. Control your mental attitude and make yourself friendly and agreeable with everyone with whom you are closely associated if you expect friendly cooperation in return. Indifference cannot create a mastermind alliance for you. A negative mental attitude can bring you nothing but failure. Remember always, you are where you are and what you are because of your mental attitude in which you relate yourself to other people. Remember also, your mental attitude is the one and the only thing over which you have complete control. Success is something which has to be planned, and success is something which has to be earned in advance. True, there is such a thing as luck, but just remember that luck is something you can create for yourself if you know the rules and follow them just as I give them to you. Remember, too, that success in the higher brackets of achievement is something that can be had only by taking others along with you. And the best definition of success which I know is this. Success is the knowledge with which to get whatever you want from life without violating the rights of others and by helping others to acquire it.
And just one final note before we get started. If you're interested in learning more about what we discussed today, I encourage you to go to Nathan's site, freemarketsquad.com. And if you sign up for his mailing list, he will send you a cheat sheet, a quick guide to everything that we discussed today, everything you need to know to get started on making your own mastermind group. All right, here we go. So I'm very pleased to welcome Nathan Frazier from Live Free FM.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Drew Sample from The Sample Hour.
Hey, it's an honor.
And Daryl Becker, our old friend Daryl from voluntaryvisions.com and pretty much from schoolsucksproject.com as well. I was telling somebody today, I think Daryl and I have done probably 25 hours of shows together, rough estimate. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, Brett. Great to be back with you guys.
Awesome. Now, we're closing out Productivity Month, and we're going to talk tonight about one of the things that I think in the last few months has been one of the biggest and best boosts for me, not only with respect to productivity, but also for being able to move up in the horizons of focus and see the bigger picture with more clarity. And that is a mastermind group. The four of us participate in a mastermind group, and we are all the podcast experienced participants of that group meeting tonight to do this show. So I wanted to talk first, Nathan, I know this was a really important aspect for you. You were the one who formed this mastermind group. Where did the idea come from? What inspired you to do it? And what value did you see in it initially?
So I was having a lot of trouble with my startup podcast Blastoff, and somebody recommended that I read a book by a gentleman named Napoleon Hill, and the book was Outwitting the Devil. And since then, I've also read a couple of other books by him, and he kind of touches on this subject, but he talks about, as he followed around a lot of these big titans of industry during the early part of the last century, one thing that he kept coming across was this group that they would get together and they would talk about things and they would encourage each other. They would share ideas with each other. And it was one of the most common traits. It was one of the habits that all of them seemed to have, from Carnegie to Ford to Rockefeller, all very nefarious names in certain communities. But he spoke about this thing called a mastermind, and it really piqued my interest. And I knew that with the knowledge that I had, I felt like a lot of the times trying to plot out my next business move, I felt like I was inside of a glass bottle, trying to read the ingredients on the outside of the bottle, and I just couldn't get clarity on where I was supposed to go next. And fortunately, I had a community of really smart business people, advertising people. I knew that I could lean on these people, but I didn't have a tight-knit community. And between the need for thoughts outside of my own ability and the concepts explained in Outwitting the Devil and subsequently Think and Grow Rich and a couple of his other works, I really started trying to figure out how I could make something like this happen. And I reached out to a few people that I knew would benefit as well as enrich a community like this. And luckily, I floated the idea out there, and Daryl and Drew and yourself and a couple other people thought that it was a good idea and said that you wanted to be involved. And it's come together, and it's far surpassed what I thought it could be.
I have to ask, and it's been on my reading list since you put it there many months ago, Outwitting the Devil, the significance of the title.
Yeah, so Napoleon Hill, in a couple of his writings, he has imaginary conversations with people. And in Outwitting the Devil, he has an imaginary conversation with the devil. But the devil in the book is the fallback of humanity, the things in humanity that cause us not to achieve what we're capable of. And he kind of interviews this imaginary devil that tells him all of the different things that he does to set people up for failure. And then in doing so, Napoleon Hill goes through and counter questions and reveals ways to outwit these bad subconscious actions that we as human beings have. And again, in the book, one of the main things that he says is a lot of us think we can take on the whole world ourselves. A lot of us think that we can be the superstars of our own world and we don't need any help. And that's one of the most self-destructive tricks that the devil pulls on us. And it's not a religious book at all. The devil is more a personification of our own self-defeating habits.
Yeah, and he mentions this concept, what he calls the mastermind alliance in that book. And I think he mentions it in Think and Grow Rich as well. And he describes it as a friendly alliance with one or more persons who will encourage one to follow through with both plan and purpose. Now, there's six of us in the group. There's four of us here tonight. So I thought we could start by basically inventorying our projects and purposes, why we thought that joining the group would be a valuable experience and what value we thought we could provide to others by being in the group. So initially, I think it's a good idea that since we are all doing things that are in some ways related, but also distinct from one another, that we just clarify our projects and our purposes. Daryl, what did you bring to the mastermind group and what were you hoping to get out of it?
Great question. So what I brought to the mastermind group that Nathan knew about was that I am an entrepreneur. I do work for myself as an acupuncturist and holistic healthcare provider. And I have some side projects that I would very much like to see all the way through to the end. And I'm sure back some episodes ago, you know, mention of that I was writing a book on the things. And I discovered, oh my God, this is the 21st century. You're not going to make a lot of any real income with a book, but with an online course, you potentially could. So then that became another business opportunity. And since that time, I've actually come upon a few other business opportunities, one of them being an IT project saver company, something to help people who are in that IT business to reduce friction in their client-developer interactions. So that was just, those are some things that popped up while I was in the midst of this. But one thing I'm sure that was the reason why I was invited in is because apparently I have some skill with communicating. So perhaps I can help with keeping things nice and emotionally stable. And so I can do that. This is what I'm often getting interviewed on the subject for. So just going to also put this one in there, Brett. Originally, there were five of us, and I was certainly the one to push for you to join our group, Brett.
Yes, so, which was greatly appreciated. You're also the group's stenographer.
I work as secretary for the group, and we're going to get to what the four roles of the group are, essentially, and the format for how it runs very soon.
Drew, what did you bring to the group, and what did you hope to get out of it?
That's kind of weird. Whenever I think what I brought to the group, I was surprised and pleasantly happy that Nathan invited me into the group. I think Nathan and I had lots of conversations. I've been in professional sales and for almost 10 years in telecommunications. I've had some failed network marketing businesses, which is actually like why I started reading personal growth and self-development books. I actually read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich when I was about 21 or 22 and didn't apply a lot of the things in my life that were in the book, such as a mastermind or trying to form one. And it was for me something that was kind of a pleasant surprise and a sign that, oh yeah, I should definitely do this. So for my projects, I have a lot of different stuff. I have a comedy promotions business, which I'm actually trying to make more broad than just comedy. I have a urban agriculture business that I'm trying to really get off the ground. And I always have been helping like family members or close friends with their businesses. For me, it's always fun to help people do sales. My stepmom's an artist, so I always help her sell her art. Or my friend has a sneaker business, so I help him out a lot with his sneaker business. So I think I've just always had like a knack for sales, and I enjoy kind of belly-to-belly interactions with human beings, so if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Nathan, how about you?
I really put the group together. I kind of explained my pain point that I was facing that prompted me to put the group together. I've always been somebody who's in any kind of work environment that I've ever had. I've always been kind of like a leader. I've always kind of been the guy that picks out people's strengths and weaknesses and knows how to bring out people's strengths and knows how to help people work on their weaknesses. And so I've always kind of naturally been drawn to that type of position. And I saw a lot of people around me that could help me, but could also help each other and could benefit from coming together. And so the main thing that I get out of it now is knowing that I've brought a bunch of people together and we've created something that's greater than the sum of its parts.
Absolutely. And what I brought to it was, first of all, as a project I was looking for some assistance with, some guidance with, was something that I began as a kind of outlet, a hobby, maybe even a passion project many, many years ago, but has grown into something that consumes most of my work time now, that I am really determined to make increasingly profitable. And that is the School Sucks project. One of the interesting things that I realized, you know, we're not all podcasters in the group. There's two other members who know very little about what, you know, specifically Nathan, Drew, and I do on a weekly basis. And Daryl certainly has some podcasting chops as well, even though it's not his primary focus. And the interesting thing is that sometimes going out of, you know, that group or that box, people doing the same work, to get input from others who know very little about the actual nuts and bolts of producing a show or running a larger project that is based on an audio or video production, but they know what they want and they know what works in business and they know what works in sales. And even if they don't have, you know, that specific knowledge set, they can be very, very helpful in other ways. And they can bring fresh perspectives into the picture, things that maybe never would have occurred to me had I not, you know, asked for help and guidance from people outside of that sphere. So that's been really useful for me as well.
One of the important things to having a successful mastermind is the organization and the people that are included. And while we're not all on the exact same page as far as what our goals are, one of the things that we all have in common that I made sure of is that we're all very liberty-minded, freedom-minded individuals. And so that was kind of the glue. Even though we have different paths that we're on and we have different backgrounds, we all are very passionate about liberty. And that was kind of one of the main things that was a must for being able to join.
Oh, see, Daryl told me it was based on being able to prove that you have Merovingian blood.
Oh,
so.
Well, I thought we weren't going to talk about that on the
show. Ah, but that is a nice, we can skip past that, and it's a nice transition to something that I wanted to bring up at the beginning here, what the focus of different groups can be. So, yeah, I think that that is a really good definition of what our group is about. Everybody speaks that same language. Some groups can be topic-based, like, you know, people who run membership sites or people who are freelance writers. Some can be mission-based, like people who are working towards, you know, specific income outcomes, or people who are even trying to do something like invest in real estate. Groups can be primarily accountability driven, where even if people are doing things that are completely unrelated, they're basically just, you know, having other members push them towards some sort of goal that they identify at the beginning. And then groups could be even more general than that. Maybe ours fits more into this last category where, you know, as long as the people in the group are happy with each other and comfortable with not having a particular focus, the groups can work that way as well. In Hill's description of the groups, did he talk about a particular focus? I mean, when you say, Nathan, that these were captains of industry types of people, did he ever describe like what brought a group together or what held it together as far as, you know, mission or topic or vision?
Yeah, he has a wide range of how they can work. He talks about how a mastermind group can just be a business owner and a very supportive spouse, or it can be a business owner, his secretary, and the main person that runs the floor of the business. It can also be two people who both work in the same business. And to bring that to like modern day, there's masterminds of people who only focus on things like Facebook ads. And so each week they get together and they say, this is what I'm seeing conversions on Facebook ads with, and this is what's no longer working. And they build from each other's knowledge. So in Napoleon Hill's book, he says that it can basically work anytime two or more people come together with a similar goal. And so it really allows for a wide range of organizational structures.
Yeah. And it can be pretty expansive too, even for the individual. If somebody has 5 free hours a week and they see this as a, you know, a high leverage activity, they could be in 5 very, very specific different mastermind groups for sure.
Yes, and that's something that a lot of the high-performing mastermind people do.
So we are not a secret society, but the fact that we are able to talk with some discretion is very important. And I thought maybe I would let Daryl speak to that first. Why do you think that is?
Well, Brett, I think it's because we're talking about our businesses, and some of them are very latent projects that we would want to keep certain things proprietary, and that means confidentiality. It's also part of the container of trust that we're building.
Yes, absolutely.
That solidity that we feel with each other. This is what we've been growing over months. I started, you know, right at the beginning with Nathan and Drew and the other guys right there in July. And it's been a process of building that type of trust. So we have some ground rules for the very beginning, like where we're keeping things confidential. But of course, you know, we can, with agreement, release everything, such as right now, where we're releasing who's in this mastermind group to the public.
a small detail.
But exactly, but not giving away all the other things too. It could be potentially problematic. I am personally not very worried about my own stuff right now, but I'd still rather keep it confidential. And I know very much that other people are really, really strong on that one. You know, we've been basically picked mostly by Nathan just because these are the people who are going to get along and have attributes that are going to support each other. And that with that power, as Nathan mentioned, we are way more than the sum of our parts.
Absolutely. Yeah, well said. Have any of you guys ever been concerned in the past? Because I know this is something that, you know, I have a very smart audience, and I now have this Facebook group that has over 1,500 people in it. And I know I could throw out questions and get great responses, even just from a handful of people out of those 1,500. I know they could be reliable in really delivering powerful and very useful ideas. Sometimes I worry, you know, while we're on the topic of confidentiality or discretion or privacy, I worry about giving too much away. Does anybody feel like that before we started doing this mastermind group, that they were kind of getting stuck and also feeling reluctant to share their stuckness with either, you know, people who were a part of their website or people who were a part of their audience or just people who were, you know, familiar with what they did? Because it's like it's too much of a look inside or something like that. Can anyone identify with that?
You know, one thing where I think you're going with this is that I really like about the mastermind group personally is there's not just the sense of like feeling stuck, but there's this accountability because you have to meet and talk to the same people every week. And personally, I don't want to be left in the dust if you guys are all making big strides and I'm not accomplishing any of my goals. We think differently because we're doing different things. So if you're working with people or you're just discussing people in your everyday life, they might not be able to, you can't necessarily bounce ideas off of those same individuals. Not that you can't for everything, but what I really like about the group is that, you know, if we start trying to brainstorm and try to help someone find a solution to something, it's a lot easier because we'll be all trying to think about something and then somebody will say something and then we piggyback off that person, that piggybacks off that person. I think that might be where you were going with that. I think for me, that's what you were saying and versus what we get out of the mastermind group. That's how I really feel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like this, there's the conflict, right? So there's a part of me that wants to be responsive to my audience. And Nathan is really good at this. You want to be able to throw things out there and get information back from people or get feedback generally and incorporate it into the production. But then there's this other part of me that wants to really just surprise the shit out of people with really awesome new stuff. You know?
Yeah. You know, you want to have a surprise. You want to give people a reason to keep tuning in. And if they know what every single show is going to be about, it might not necessarily, they might get bored with it. Yeah. Or worse is you get bored with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Nathan, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd just like to chime in. I think my take on what you're talking about is the way I feel about it is as far as the privacy of the group goes, a lot of people can look at a private group and say there's probably something nefarious going on there. There's probably something that they don't want out in the open. For me, the reason why privacy is so important is for a couple of reasons. Number one, it helps build the trust. It lets us know that we can be vulnerable with each other, and no growth is going to come if you're not willing to be vulnerable with the people that are helping you grow. And so it's kind of a very necessary thing to have the privacy there. It's also a place where we can share ideas with each other, and we know that we're not going to be judged. And it's not always just business ideas. Sometimes we talk about personal things that we're dealing with. Sometimes we talk about things that we wouldn't be comfortable even talking with our best friends about, but we know that in this group, our goal is to support each other, to help lift each other up. So we have that ability. And like you were saying, ideas that you don't want to blow the lid off of before, you know, prematurely, you can bring it to the group and we can help you develop the idea without kind of like in a behind closed doors so that when you do reveal it to your audience, it's already gotten the feedback of 5 or 6 people who are really, really intent on helping you make it a success.
Yeah, and there's a real psychic benefit of externalization, you know, especially with a lot of problems that are beyond really work-specific stuff. You know, like there's a whole emotional world that affects what we're trying to get done every day. So having a reliable and a comfortable space to not only vent those things, in addition to exchanging great ideas or sharing information or sharing tools, is really, really valuable. It's like a valve that can be turned every week. We do this meeting on Sunday night. So it's like the last thing I do before my week of work and production starts. And it's been a really great start to the week because anything that's still rattling around in my mind can be released at that point if I need it to be released. You know, some weeks I go into the meeting feeling absolutely great with no rattles, but that's not always the case. Daryl, anything on that?
Just that there is no growth unless you have risk. And at the same time, just to, you know, flip that one around, in order to have that comfortable, safe container, that can only be earned, just as trust and respect is an earned situation, not something that you can actually freely give. So this has been months of producing that type of trust. And then as people are ready, they risk it, they reveal. And that's where we actually get to see the magic happen.
Absolutely. And let's continue along that line and talk about some of the other benefits of participating in a group like this. In our preparation for doing this show, Nathan called it collective intelligence to overcome problems. And that can be broken down into several different parts or several different specific benefits. One which we touched on, but I wanted to give everybody a chance to elaborate on a little bit, is accountability. You know, we go out and we say, here's what we're trying to do. Then we basically have to report back on how we did. I think for me anyway, that creates a kind of gravity to keep me focused on bigger goals, right? It's really easy to get lost in really specific things that need to be done every day just because they're on a to-do list and they need to happen to make the next small thing, an individual, you know, audio or video come to fruition. But when that's where your focus is too much, everything that's at a higher altitude starts to get a little blurry or disappear into the clouds completely. So for me, that kind of accountability that also is about, you know, redirecting my focus to a higher place has been extremely helpful. And again, I've only been participating in the group, I think, for about 3 months.
That's probably one of the most powerful things of having the group, at least for me, is having the support and the accountability partners of everybody else in the group. Like you mentioned, we set accountability goals, kind of the idea of the one thing at the end of your turn in the hot seat, we do the one thing that we're going to hold ourselves accountable for, that one domino that we're going to knock over before the next meeting. And then the next week, we all get together and we say, hey, were you able to accomplish it? If so, congratulations. If not, what can we do to help you make that accountability goal met? And that's something that you don't get in everyday life. You usually don't get from even your close friends, a lot of times even from your business partners, your significant other. So that's one of the major benefits of a mastermind that seems to be lacking in almost every other relationship in life.
Indeed. Drew?
For me, the biggest thing with the accountability is not, if I tell you guys something, I want to make sure that I'm doing it. And I think I put a lot of heavy expectations on myself, but I think sometimes at the same time with the accountability, it's good to have that support to where if maybe I can bounce off, do you guys think I'm being too hard on myself right now? What is your opinion? So I think it goes both ways. I think for me, the accountability is huge though. It keeps the burning desire to achieve the goals that I want to achieve and to stay focused on it, or to look at what I'm doing from the outside instead of just while I'm trying to do it, if that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. Daryl?
It's interesting because accountability is a situation that is involved in two other groups that I'm in, which are more completely involved with emotional intelligence and getting to underlying stories that are told. So I'm in these other groups that are way longer and much bigger than this one, and I'd have to say far less focused. But accountability is certainly an issue there. In this group, though, with not being so empathetically and emotionally focused, being very actually productively focused and supportively focused, it's really awesome because there's no specific punishment or reward. There's only looking to see and understand what's going on. It's that curiosity and open-mindedness that's helpful is apparent in everyone. They just want to know, what is it that you plan to do? And then the next time, well, what did you get done? And even any aspect of what we would personally call failure is just another opportunity for support and any opportunity to actually celebrate what you actually did get done. It's just so brilliant and beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for so long, certainly in my life, you know, from about the age of 6 to the age of, when was the last time I had a boss? 32. The accountability seemed to have this connotation of penalty for a job not well done, whether it was in the form of bad grades or staying after school or having to meet with a superior at work or, you know, losing a job or a contract outright. You know, yeah, I mean, that's part of life. Certainly in the work world, I have opinions about school. But, you know, this is accountability plus support, right? There's no, I wouldn't be afraid to come in and report. I stated objectives to be basically ticked off for this past week, and they didn't get done. And here's why. And what do you guys think of this? And where can I go from here? You know, that's a very comfortable situation to be in. But accountability, just from most of the context in which we deal earlier in life, it doesn't really have that feel to it, not from my experience anyway. So we covered two benefits there, accountability and support. But I'd also like to talk a little bit, and this has been a big one because this is something that's getting shared in the group every week, specific knowledge. You know, we, like I said, have people from different backgrounds and entirely different fields or industries who are often able to, just from having, you know, an entirely different set of experiences, fill in gaps in our own work, in our own knowledge. And the example that I'm driving towards here is that somebody will be in a position where they basically have to provide a tool or a hack that they use, they explain it, we each get to evaluate that tool or hack and decide whether or not it would be helpful to incorporate into our productive life. So again, Nathan, was this something specific that you added to the format of the group, Tools and Hacks?
Yeah, this is, I did a lot of research before I actually reached out to the people. And this was one of the things that I kept seeing come up was when you're in the hot seat, instead of just jumping into your pain point, start off the hot seat. You're going to ask people to give you a lot of value because you're going to present a problem that you're struggling with. And you're going to ask everybody in the group to focus all of their energy on providing value for you. So the best way to start that out is to provide value to all of them before that even happens. So before your session in the hot seat happens, we do the tool tip or trick, where it's basically give us an application or a life hack or something that you use to make your productivity or your life go better. It's a way to start off the hot seat process on a positive note and a giving note so that you're ready to receive the abundancy that's going to come after that. As far as also specific knowledge goes, one of the things that I find great about the whole process, like you said, certain people come from different aspects, they have different experiences. A lot of times, when you have a new piece of the puzzle fall in place, the whole picture will change. And sometimes, no matter how experienced you are, you just don't have that piece of the puzzle. So you can't see the whole picture, but somebody else in the group might have the exact piece that you're looking for. And that's one of those things where that specific knowledge of somebody else can just be a 10x multiplier on benefiting your life.
Excellent. Before I move on to Drew and Daryl with the same question I'm about to ask you, Nathan, what is one tool or hack that you learned in the group that made a big positive impact?
Oh, gosh, there's so many every single week. One of the gentlemen that's not present on the phone call is very much into social marketing for his product, and he's always bringing different tools that he's using to manage his social marketing. I would have to say probably Hootsuite is one of the better ones, and that basically allows you to set up pre-arranged, scheduled posts for your different social media. So you can start at the beginning of the week and say, on this day, I want this, this, and this to post. On the next day, I want this, this, and this to post. And you can spend an hour collecting and curating content to post to your different Facebook pages or Twitter pages, set it and let it go for the rest of the week. And you don't have to spend another second, unless it's, of course, replying or interacting. But as far as getting it going, you spend an hour doing it at the beginning of the week, and it takes care of itself for the rest of the week.
Indeed. Absolutely. Yeah, I actually look forward to getting started with that one myself. Drew, how about you?
Well, we did do a whole show about Evernote, so I think that was a pretty good one. I think that was a couple episodes ago. The same gentleman who we were talking about, he had said it was called Hey Market, but I actually looked and it was actually called Hey SMS. But basically, it allows you to individually, instead of sending a big group message to people, and actually just used it. So if you want to say, hey, there's, for me personally, hey, there's a comedy show, love to have you come out. And instead of just putting a bunch of people in a group text message where you're kind of letting go of their privacy or giving other people their number without their permission, it will individualize. You can basically, it sends each text individually. So it will pre-write a text and you just hit send a bunch of times. And it's actually worked out pretty good. I actually just tried it out tonight.
Excellent. How about you, Daryl?
What popped up in my head was similarweb.com. Just the idea that perhaps it's time to understand who am I dealing with or who am I considering dealing with, and just go ahead and look at their website through similarweb.com and get some kind of basic metrics of the traffic flow to whoever it is or whatever site I'm looking at. That was just something that was useful because I had some research to do. If I want to make an online course that's successful, who else is doing that and what are their numbers? I mean, who else has made a course similar to the one I plan to make? And what have they done with it so far? And what's the traffic flow? Where does the traffic come from? That's one website where you can look up those metrics.
Also, if I can just add, SimilarWeb also allows you to check and see where they're spending their ad revenue at, to see which streams of paid advertising are working for them and which ones aren't, what kind of graphics they're using for their advertisements, which ones are converting, which ones are not. So SimilarWeb is awesome. I second Daryl's suggestion there.
Yeah, SimilarWeb is very cool. Related to this, another thing that a mastermind group provides is resources. You know, we might find that somebody else in the group, even if it's just as simple as, oh, I have a podcast that you could come on and talk about this thing that you want to do. People might already have the solution we seek set up for some other reason, or they might know the person in their industry or maybe somebody they're participating with in a different mastermind group. Oh, you need to talk to this person. So networking beyond the mastermind group is a great example of resources that the group can provide, and networking within the group as well, because like I said, somebody might have just the thing you're looking for, or they might have just solved the problem that you're currently struggling with, and they could even walk you through step by step exactly how to deal with it. So the specific knowledge that we get from the person who is, as Nathan described, giving something first before they identify a specific pain point they're struggling with that week, resources would also be a kind of follow-up for that, where when somebody specifies a problem and everybody in the group chimes in, that's basically a resource sharing session. Together, all of these benefits that we've talked about so far, they definitely lead to growth. You know, I think it's a growth activity just participating in the group because, like I said before, it returns my focus to where it needs to be more often. We get new perspectives. I think we already talked about that. And the outcome or the sum total of all these other benefits is energy and motivation. Simply having a group of people that understands your objectives and helps you celebrate when there are wins is like a really inspiring, motivating, energizing kind of thing. So those are the benefits. Anything to add before we move on?
I just want to jump in and say I typically do my podcast or my radio broadcast an hour after our mastermind meeting is over. And I always leave the mastermind meetings feeling so energized that it's great for me because that energy perfectly translates into my own production as well. So for me, having it on Saturday or Sunday nights right before doing my own podcast is freaking awesome.
I second that. I always get a lot of stuff done afterward. I feel really pumped up and ready to conquer the world, metaphorically.
I'm just right there with you guys. I'm so psyched after the whole thing is over.
And Daryl still has plenty of time left in the day after it's over.
Yeah.
That is true.
So those are the benefits. And I think if we're creating buy-in for people who are listening to this, it would be wise to actually explain how each one of our sessions works, so people have an idea of what a mastermind group looks like, even though there's lots of different ways that this could go down. But I'm really fond of the way that our group runs. It has a good flow. It is accommodating to the number of people that we have, which at most has been six. So I thought we could start to identify its parts and how those parts work together, and basically the scheduling or the flow of the actual hour meeting. It is always 1 hour, and this is it's very, very, very punctual in that it starts at a time and it ends at a time. It is the most consistent time-wise thing I think I have ever participated in that involved other people on Skype. I mean, there are, you know, like sunrises and sunsets are about as predictable, but five other people on Skype, that is one of the hardest things to do in my world. So I really, really appreciate the consistency of this and everyone's respect for the need for that consistency.
Can I just start with a little preface?
Yeah.
What we're going to talk about, the way that I organize this particular group is not like set in stone. Everybody has to do their group this way. I did a lot of research going back from the 1920s all the way up till 2015 to see the different evolutions, the different practices that people do. And I picked what I thought was the most beneficial from all of the different ideas. So the things that we're going to talk about, and I'll turn it over to Daryl after this, but the way that we structure our meetings is not like this is the only way you can do it. It's just I would recommend starting with this template because I found it to be incredibly beneficial.
So, Daryl, how about we put a label to each participant or type of participant in the mastermind group that we run every Sunday?
Excellent. So the components or labels that we take for the roles that we take for this mastermind group, there is a facilitator, and right now that is Nathan. And the facilitator is there to greet everyone and to keep everything rolling and on point and keeping the format constantly in mind with some degree of flexibility. And Nathan, when it gets to be your turn to speak, I'm sure you can go on to a variety of other things that the facilitator does. I work as the secretary, so what I'm doing is I'm writing down or distilling the major points or I would say important elements that everyone says, and I'm writing them down in the spaces where they go. I've got a format, a Word document that I'm always ready to add to, and at the end of the entire group, I will paste the entire summary of all those points right there in the Skype chat for us to check out for them, for everyone to have access to. I keep a copy of it myself too. There's also going to be a person in the hot seat, and it's going alphabetically. So going from Brett to me to Drew, etc. We got six of us. And that person in the hot seat is going to hopefully be showing up with well thought out and articulated or at least slightly vague pain points, issues with their business that they are struggling with or looking for some advice and help with. They're also going to show up with a tool hack, some life-enhancing methodology or tool that they're going to share. The other folks are going to be the contributors, the other three people in our group. They're going to be there to listen, to ask useful questions, and then to deliver useful advice. And those are the components. We flow through, very simply, greeting each other. We each, all six of us, share our weekly wins, something or some things that we celebrate as accomplishments for our week. It doesn't even have to be necessarily regarding our businesses. It can be anything that we just wish to celebrate. Keeping things on a nice up note for the group. We then move into the person who's in the hot seat. And like Nathan just mentioned, that person begins by sharing a life-enhancing tool or life hack or tool hack. This is something that they find really useful. Then they articulate their pain point, which could take a little time, as you know, sometimes there's a need for clarity. And after they deliver that, there's probably going to be some questions from people. And it begins alphabetically again with usually Brett, and then have a chance to, if possible, deliver some useful advice. Each person does go through that. I even will start to notice that the person in the hot seat suddenly is being able to conceive of advice for themselves. I write that down too. And after all of each person has had a chance to go through and articulate their advice, now it's my job to go back to each person, starting with Brett, and say back what I wrote down from what he said, my own interpretation of his words, which are, of course, not verbatim because I'm trying to condense things. And Brett gets to add to that or change it, and then it goes on to the next person and so on all the way through. So the person in the hot seat is getting to hear all the advice about twice, just about. And if necessary, I'm going to copy and paste any things, including their pain point or the advice, into the chat for them to read as well as listen to. And at the end of that, they have a chance, the person in the hot seat, that's their opportunity and pretty much their responsibility to come up with a plan of action. What are they going to do with all of this advice, given the nature of their pain points that they've listed? They make a goal of accountability, and that's what I also write up into the notes. And that is pretty much the summary of one 60-minute mastermind group. The final little element is we definitely state who's in the hot seat next week, which is fairly simple to figure out, and then we say goodbye. That's 60 minutes.
I just want to say, Daryl really downplayed what he does as a secretary. So I get really frustrated listening to myself try to explain things or try to express myself sometimes. And I'll say something, and I know what I'm trying to say, but I don't ever feel like it's really coming off the way I want it to. But then Daryl will summarize what I say, and magically, what I was really trying to say is said through Daryl's notes. So Daryl is a master interpreter, because I don't even understand what I'm saying half the time, but Daryl seems to really speak Drew Sample and understand it and convey it. And I just want to say the group would not be the same without Daryl being able to condense all that stuff and put it in the chat. I think if you have a mastermind group, having a good note taker like Daryl, I think is one of the biggest parts of it being successful. I don't know about you guys.
I agree. So you feel like you run up to the table with a handful of puzzle pieces and you dump them out onto the table and you say, puzzle pieces. And then Daryl says, no, basket full of kittens. Look.
Yeah, I feel like it's worse than that. I feel like I vomited all on the table. And Daryl...
There's no solution. There's no cleaning.
Daryl somehow cleans it up and turns it into beautiful flowers. And it's just flowers of knowledge. And I'm like, how did that even come out of me? How did you even make sense of what I just said? That's how I really feel.
Well, I do want to give Daryl a chance to expand a little bit on what he feels the skill set is of a secretary and advice Daryl would have for somebody who wanted to take on this role in a mastermind group. But before we do that, let's actually return to the first role that we defined, which was the facilitator. And I'll give that same question to you, Nathan. What advice would you have for somebody who wanted to take on this role, which is basically to start their own mastermind group? What are some of the skills that you think need to be brought to that? And maybe related to that, some skills you've developed from having done it now for a number of months.
I think as a facilitator, the most important thing is to know how to get the value out of each person in the group. Some people might be a little bit shy or wallflowers, especially at first, before everybody is comfortable with each other. So you really have to know how to, in a comfortable way, prompt them to interact, prompt them to come in. And in being a facilitator, you really have to know the strengths of each one so that you know when to pull out those strengths from the people. This is something that I'm also trying to do and really enjoying doing in the Facebook Mastermind group right now, which is getting to know the people there. And when somebody's dealing with a pain point, bringing it to the attention of somebody who I know has experience to help them. So really knowing everybody and everybody's strengths and weaknesses and what each person can provide to other people in the group and not being afraid to prompt them to action is probably one of the most important things. And that goes for running the group, and it goes for when you're trying to set up a group as well. A lot of thought needs to go into vetting who's going to be part of the group and making sure that the people are going to be able to get value from each other, bring value to each other, and you're going to know which people to call on for which particular situations.
Yeah, you seem to have a real knack for it, and you're really good at looking at whatever the situation is being discussed, even identifying, you know, the skills or the knowledge, the experience of everybody in that group, and maybe saying, this person, I think, is the one who I'd like to hear from on this, or I'd be interested in hearing from on this. So it really helps, I think, your knowledge of the people in the group and where they come from really helps the whole process run much more smoothly. So that's definitely appreciated.
And the other thing that I would add to that is also not, and this comes from managing meetings for between different businesses that I've been involved with for the last over a decade now. A lot of times, especially with a group of guys that are really close with each other and enjoy just BSing with each other, a lot of times conversation could get led off topic. So being firm, being able to say, hey, I know we're enjoying this, but we do have a mission to accomplish here, and being able to do it in a way that doesn't come off like a bully or a bulldog, but being able to say, okay, come on, let's get reorganized, let's get refocused here, guys. Being able to do that, that's kind of an intimidating thing for a lot of people, but being able to do it is definitely a very necessary ability in order to run a mastermind group.
Absolutely. I'd like to move to Daryl and talk a little bit more about the secretary role in depth. Advice you would have, Daryl, but first of all, the skills that were cultivated or the skills that you feel are really necessary for taking on that role in a mastermind group.
It does help to be able to type.
Yep.
Just going to say. but you're not a stenographer as a secretary for the mastermind group. In fact, if anything, I really advise that don't do that. Use audio recording, audio video recording, if you want to capture everything verbatim. Like Drew just said, if you want to capture all that vomit just as it is, go for it, you know, and then you can siphon through that later on your own time. The secretary's job is to distill down everything useful from the whole session. And then that's going to be in some, you know, kind of page and a half piece of format, basically. It really doesn't take up that much space to condense down everything that we just said. So those skills, as you suddenly learn when you become the secretary for a mastermind group, are, wow, man, it would really help if you wrote things up ahead of time. Like, for example, when I show up to a mastermind meeting now, but I didn't know this ahead of time because I didn't have a secretary mentor to show me how to do this, I had to figure out that, oh, if I just wrote down my weekly win ahead of time, I can be that much more lucid when I'm writing down Brett's weekly win and everyone else's, you know, because at least then I'm able to read that one out loud, but I don't have to write it down. If I'm in the hot seat and I'm secretary, I'm going to have my pain point also written down ahead of time. And not only written down in my weird Daryl speak, the way I speak, as people have said, is rather odd and strange. I'm going to copy and paste it into the chat so you can look at it with your eyes as well as hear my mouth move. Maybe does that help? You know, and I think that to some people it does help, you know, to get it twice, basically. The skills that I'm using, I'm identifying the claims and concerns and actions that are suggested. I am identifying relevant links and resources, offers for help and assistance. I'm making a concise summary and paraphrasing of the needed data. I'm using some facilitation skills, just like Nathan. When necessary, I'm going to say, hey, can you slow down? I'm trying to catch that. I was needing to do that more in the beginning, but I don't need to stop you guys as much now. I'm usually more fluidly just getting the nuts and bolts down. Those are the major situations. I'm getting everything down, and this is often incredibly useful and important to the person who was in the hot seat on that day, because that's what it does seem like for all of us. It seems like the focus is all on the person in the hot seat. But as we've all mentioned, we all grow and learn something by just participating, by even just being folks who are adding to the conversation, who are making suggestions. So those are the major elements I would cover.
I'm going to second what Drew said earlier. Daryl is definitely downplaying the importance that his role is in the group. Daryl makes it sound very scientific, but what he's doing, he's listening, he's refining what we're saying, he's typing. He's communicating it back to us all at one time, and there is no way that I would be able to do that. And I don't think anybody in the group would be able to accomplish what Daryl accomplishes. And so I think that, like Daryl said, having a strong communications-based secretary is definitely a necessary thing for a mastermind. So that was one of the things that I knew that Daryl was going to excel at, but the level that he's taken it to is still just mind-blowing to me. So kudos to you for that, Daryl. And then I wanted to build on what you said about people. A lot of times when somebody else is in the hot seat and Brett will say, well, this is how I feel about it. This is something that I ran into. And I've been able to solve that problem this way. I can oftentimes take pieces of advice that are given to other people and say, oh my gosh, that could totally apply to something that I'm facing right now. And it's not my week in the hot seat, but I just got some incredible advice vicariously. And that's always awesome. And then just knowing that your advice is valuable in helping somebody else makes it to where being in the hot seat is one of the most valuable things of the mastermind group. But when, once you've gone through a couple of groups, you start realizing that being a contributor, being one of the supporting members of the mastermind group, also has tons and tons of value.
Yeah. And I think that just, you know, this speaks to what Daryl does as well. When we move on to talking about what the role of the person in the hot seat is each week. And, you know, just in case we skip past it too quickly before, you know, if there's six people in the group, you're in the hot seat once every 6 weeks. That's how our format works. Sometimes it is a little difficult to show up with clear points that are a part of what you're doing or a clear struggle that you're having. Sometimes it seems more nebulous. It seems a little bit more vague. So Daryl does a really good job. I think this is what Drew was talking about with his vomit or his puzzle pieces of, you know, putting it into something that's more coherent. And I think that, you know, the added benefit of being in the hot seat is that there is some preparation to do before the group, you know, that you try to get clear with yourself, what is the pain point that is most pressing for me at 9 o'clock when this meeting starts? Because there's probably usually a choice of at least a couple. And then, you know, even though that it is a matter of course, and even though it has great value, the tool or hack that we mentioned requires a bit of thought as well, you know, to say, okay, well, what is really helping me this week, you know, or what is really helping me long term? And kind of, you know, doing an inventory of the things you're using and even being able to evaluate, like, all right, this thing works the best for me. So the first one that I ever mentioned, I think I've only been in the hot seat two or three times, was obviously Evernote. And then I went on to mention the Pomodoro method. But it gives me a kind of hierarchy of, you know, what is really essential to my productivity system. So that's a way that I have to, you know, think ahead of time as well when I'm preparing to be in the hot seat. And then, you know, there's really valuable follow-up work. I always take my own notes because I think that's a really great way for me to learn on the week when I'm in the hot seat. And that is, you know, taking this compendium of advice that we get from really thoughtful and invested people and turning it into something that I think I can actually accomplish. You know, that advice becomes, you know, a process or a specific goal that I want to be able to come back to the group 7 days later and say, I won on that this week. So the hot seat position has a whole extra set of benefits. But just to reiterate what Daryl said and what Nathan said, everybody gets a tremendous amount of value, at least that has been my experience, regardless of the role that we're playing any given week.
Besides showing up prepared with obviously their pain point, some degree understood, and to showing up with a tool hack, something that really helps and enhance their life, it's really something that we've gained with experience, all six of us have gained, by being able to distill the suggestions into an actionable goal that can be completed by next week. That's something that you gain with practice, just like the same way I've gained the skills of being a mastermind secretary with practice. And it's rather amazing what can happen when you practice something over and over again. So I just wanted to put that right there.
I want to add something too about the hot seat. I think my biggest pain point I did the first week, which I'll just go ahead and share it, which is like figuring out a way to be able to walk away from my job and live off of like my projects. And I think something for me being in the hot seat that while we were having this conversation that I might not necessarily be taking advantage of to kind of piggyback off of what Daryl's saying, because this does take practice. And I think it's like a mastermind group is a tool. Being in the hot seat is a tool for yourself. I really have been like for my last accountability, I've really been trying to figure out how to really utilize this group the most. And I think for me is knowing what my biggest pain point are and then really looking to use that hot seat to just take those steps to getting to your ultimate goal.
Yeah, it really requires a lot of self-evaluation before you sit down in that seat.
Yeah.
Because you want the most out of that hour.
And I don't feel like I've been doing that the best. So I'll just put that out there, guys, right there.
Sometimes it's really hard to identify. I mean, I will usually devote. I've been trying to do a review of my entire system on Sunday, which basically just means, you know, seeing what's left in my inbox and why it's there, looking over the weekly to-do list that we talked about in the Evernote show, Drew, and then just kind of going through current projects and projects on hold and seeing how those folders look in Evernote. And to see if there's places where I'm getting hung up. But then I have, you know, folders beyond that. Like I talked about one that I just called, you know, Essential SSP. And there's this folder that's just been steadily growing called Growing SSP. And it doesn't mean the size of the folder or the size of SSP-related things or the mound of SSP things that have not been accomplished yet. It means actually growing the show, reaching more people, bringing in more revenues to make more things possible in the future. And I say, wow, you know, that is something that is really, really getting neglected. I am at a very, very low horizon of focus most of the time with my, you know, eyes in this folder that, you know, this is this month's project or this is this week's project. And I need to look at the bigger picture. So that's part of my review that I have kind of pinned to participating in the mastermind group. Even when I'm not in the hot seat, it's like Jake DeSillis and I talked about this today, actually, building habits. And sometimes, you know, when you want to add a new habit, where does it make sense in your routine, time of day or other activities? Where does it make sense to put this thing? Right before the mastermind group is a great time for me to review my week and go through all the horizons of focus and see which ones are not getting enough attention. And then that helps me really clarify a pain point that I'm going to articulate in the group. So if people are using something like the Getting Things Done system or something like it, where they are conducting a weekly review and cleanup of their work right before the mastermind, has been a really beneficial time for me to do that.
Can I jump in real quick, Brett?
Yeah, sure.
Harkening back to a conversation that you and I had earlier this month, we were talking about the importance of goal setting and the importance in goal setting of being very selective about who you share your goals with. And I just wanted to say that sharing my goals with you guys inside of the mastermind group is one of those. We didn't touch on it in that particular episode, but it is very important that you're selective about who you share your goals with, and having a mastermind group, having a group of people that are like-minded, that want to help you succeed. That's a very, very powerful community to choose to selectively share your goals with.
Absolutely.
And I agree with Nathan there. I think just for me, what I've really gotten out of it is for so long, I have been able to get by. I always feel like the skin of my teeth just by winging it and like just persevering without any necessarily having a system or anything like that. And I think having our conversations every week makes me and just forces me to realize I really need to get it together more. Like I really need to buckle down more. I really need to learn what I can from Brett, or learn what I can from Nathan, learn what I can from Daryl, and try to incorporate some of their strategies in my own way into my everyday life so I can be a lot more effective. So I think that's the number one thing. And I think it's still something I'm really trying to like figure out. Like I'm still trying to figure out how exactly to do my Evernote system from when we talked. So I think it's great because it's like, it's always a challenge. It always is forcing, you know, me to, you know, iron sharpening iron, if that makes sense.
Yeah, something Drew said reminded me of this idea that, you know, we're all building our own toolboxes. So everybody brings these tools to these meetings and says, "Do you need this? This is a Dremel." And I say, "Well, I don't even know what that would do. So I don't need that one. I'm glad it helps you." But I find that having a repertoire of different tools and strategies is immensely helpful. I hear people say things like, "I do it all by willpower," or "I keep it all up here," and they point to their head. And I say, "Oh, well, good for you, weirdo. You know, I don't know how that works." But I like having this environment where people are bringing in things that they've tested and they say, this is great for me. You could try it here. And maybe I do, or maybe I realize I don't need it. And that's really been how I have very, very slowly over the course of the last 2 or 3 years built up a system that today I feel comfortable with, that I can rely on, and that is starting to produce results. But I almost feel like there has been an acceleration of that process over just the last few months that I've participated in this group. So that's been a huge benefit for me.
Yeah, I wanted to speak to that, Brett, because that type of acceleration is the thing I get excited about as I see my own skill grow in clarifying what's going on and hearing your appreciation today. Thank you so much. But I mean, hearing the appreciation is saying, this is what happens when I get to hone these skills of isolating elements that are really useful and then putting it right back out there again to be used. I see the same thing happens the way we all ask questions. That it's not just like the person gives a pain point and then we just go, boom, Brett, and here's what I say. You know, it's going to require a little clarifying questions. The questions aren't just like that. If, for example, if Brett was the one to ask questions, those questions are helpful for all of us because they reveal what is necessary, missing information, and forming really good clarifying questions and getting the clarity. That's the type of skill set that I see being really honed amongst many other skill sets.
And I think that's good to add in and clarify on that. A lot of times when you're in the hot seat and you're trying to get out, this is what I'm having trouble with. This is my pain point. A lot of times the biggest part of the pain point is that we ourselves don't have clarity on it. So when we try to explain it, that clarity is not usually there. And usually before we even start giving advice, there is a little round of each person going through and saying, can I get a little bit of clarity? When you say this, are you talking about this? Or can you maybe explain this a little bit more? And that, just that first step really helps me when I'm in the hot seat. It really helps me get clear on what my pain point is as well.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're asking people to send back to you what you're saying, it tells you a lot about how clear it is in your own head, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really appreciate that aspect as well. Guys, I think we did it, and I think we did it in just over an hour. So we are pretty damn efficient. Everybody did a fantastic job tonight. Everybody in the audience surely loves all of us by now. They're probably eager for us to plug our websites, or for you three. I think they know mine. But I wanted to start with Nathan because this mastermind format is really something that you're currently trying to replicate on a larger scale, right?
Yeah, well, for me, this particular organization or group has been, just like I said earlier, it's been a 10x multiplier. It's been probably every single week, the 1 hour that I spend with you guys is probably the most powerful hour out of my whole week. And it's just been incredible for me. It's provided so much value, and I don't want to keep it just between us. That's why we did this whole episode, and that's also why I've created a group online. There's a Facebook group that you guys are all part of, and if people want to connect with you and have kind of a scaled version of what we've been talking about, we've created a Facebook group online, and people can join it. The only real requirements are, number one, you have to care about success. Number two, you have to care about liberty. And number three, you have to respect the privacy of the people in the group. If you can meet those three qualifications, we would love to have you involved in it. And if you want to get more information about how to get involved in that, just go to freemarketsquad.com and you can see a little explanation video and you can sign up to be part of it and get information on how you can join the group. It is on Facebook, so you do need a Facebook account. But that's kind of what we're trying to grow, is the Free Market Squad. And that's the online group, so freemarketsquad.com.
Excellent. Drew, what is your podcast? Who are two of your all-time favorite guests?
That's really hard to say. So the first part's not. So my podcast is called The Sample Hour. You can go to samplehour.com. I'm actually the first customer of Podcast Blastoff, which is Nathan's company. They didn't promote at all. So check that out. So you can definitely check how easy it is to use Podcast Blastoff. Two of my favorite guests, it's really hard to say. I mean, I think, you know, obviously you three are three of my favorite guests I've had on. I think more recently, recent episodes, I mean, I liked a lot. I think, you know, I just had Jack Spearco on. And then my reoccurring guest, Charles Hugh Smith, he's the owner of the blog Of Two Minds, and him and I do a show about every other month or once a month, and we kind of have a couple beers and have a good time and just talk about certain topics. So
thesamplehour.com, right?
Or samplehour.com.
Cool. Daryl, your website URL, a little bit about it, and then perhaps your most favorite episode of School Sucks podcast that you ever appeared on.
Oh, I would love to answer those ones. So my podcast is not yet available because I'm still working on it and writing copy, but my work can be found at voluntaryvisions.com. It's a portfolio of all of my appearances on all three of you guys' shows, as well as other folks, my appearances on various places. And wow, I have to tell you, Brett, going over Disciplined Minds with you was one of my favorite shows that I think I did with you. I think it was an incredibly important episode just to touch on something that really affects people, that appeal to authority and where that's coming from.
Awesome.
And I wanted to just also mention that I really, really hope to be working with you, Nathan. I hope to be working with the Free Market Squad, and I want to mentor future Mastermind secretaries because there really is a skill involved in this, and I think I've been working out a bunch of the things that make that really flow. So just putting that out there.
That is awesome. And I just want to, again, just drive home how important it is to have somebody who's a good secretary. So if you're in the Free Market Squad Facebook group and you're thinking about putting something together like this, definitely hit me up and definitely hit up Daryl, because it's important to have strong members, and somebody who can do what Daryl does is definitely going to be a linchpin on whether or not a group is going to succeed.
Well, thank you so much, Nathan, Drew, and Daryl, for joining me for this show. This is a fantastic conclusion to SSP Productivity Month, and I hope that people in the audience get great value from our conversation and go on to start their own mastermind groups. I would definitely look forward to hearing how that goes for people in the audience.
Hashtag SSP Productivity Month.
Indeed. Today's new subscriber is Jessica R. from Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Does the fun ever stop? Hey, have you ever heard of a man named George Washington Parke Custis? Of course you have. Turns out he had a step-grandfather, also named George, who in 1794, while holding a top government position, visited Harper's Ferry. He noticed that the town was conveniently located at the confluence of the Potomac and Shenandoah rivers, giving it a great strategic value. And he also remembered Thomas Jefferson saying that the town of Harper's Ferry was, quote, worth a voyage across the Atlantic. That is not exactly how he spoke. It was at that point that Washington decided that the town would make a great location for a new national armory. It was a decision that would later come back to bite the United States government right in the tits, but we'll get to that soon. 2 years later, the arsenal was established, machine shops were built, and musket factories brought industry and jobs into Harper's Ferry. The population boomed, and by the 1850s, Harper's Ferry was one of the most important transportation hubs in the eastern United States. Unfortunately, about a decade later, some shit went down in Harper's Ferry. It was 1859 when a man named John Brown showed up, and he was determined to free all the slaves in Virginia by instigating a revolt that would spread through the entire state. He planned to capture
Washington's precious arsenal at Harper's Ferry. Washington now dead, by the way. And then used what he found inside to arm his own followers. On October 6, 1859, Brown, along with 21 other men, including his sons and Ammon Bundy, occupied the arsenal. Unfortunately for Brown, his men didn't have the proper ammunition for the weapons they found inside, and no slaves wanted to help him. And they quickly became surrounded by the Maryland militia, but then things only got worse. President James Buchanan heard about the uprising and sent a company of 90 Marines, led by George Washington Park Custis's son-in-law, Robert E. Lee, to put down the rebellion. Lee ordered the Marines to storm the fort, rescue the few hostages Brown had taken earlier in the night. Brown was wounded in the struggle, and he was hanged in the morning of December 2nd, sending shockwaves slowly, very slowly, through the nation. To many people in the North, Brown became a martyr to the cause of abolition. But to Southerners, he was just another symbol of Northern aggression. Things only escalated from there on April 17, 1861. Virginia, which then included West Virginia, seceded from the Union. The former governor of Virginia, Henry A. Wise, the very governor who had made the decision to hang the man who George Washington Park Custis's son-in-law Robert E. Lee had raided at Harper's Ferry, John Brown, for carrying out similar designs on the arsenal, organized a scheme to occupy the armory so that the Northern troops couldn't get a hold of what was inside. Wise had to move swiftly and to try and raise a militia to take over the arsenal before the federal government organized enough troops to hold it. Inside the arsenal was Union Lieutenant Roger Jones, and he sent a cable to Washington that the armory was in danger. Thousands of troops would be required to defend it. When it became clear that Washington was ignoring his requests, he took matters into his own hands. 10 p.m. on April 18th, Jones and his men set fire to the arsenal. Gosh, back then it really seems like the attitude was, you got a problem, start a fire. Something not going your way, try setting it on fire. Unfortunately for the Union, the fire only resulted in minor damage, and over 4,000 firearms inside were still usable. And during the next 4 years, the town itself would change hands 14 times. No major battle was ever fought in Harper's Ferry, but the town was ravaged by repeated attempts from both the Union and the Confederate forces to control the vital transportation hub. Now, in the last new subscriber geography trivia, you heard me mention that I was hoping to get a new signer from the town of Appomattox, Virginia, the site of Appomattox Courthouse and the Confederacy's final surrender. But how about this? The subscriber I got instead, Jessica, from Harper's Ferry, lives in the town where the largest surrender of Union forces during the Civil War took place. September 15th, 1862, 12,400 Union troops surrendered and became Confederate prisoners. Dang. Who else is from the Virginias? I'm on a roll here.
New subscriber geography trivia.